This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bit after 5 o'clock here on this Friday in New York City. This sports weekend is about to be nuts. We'll get into it a little bit later on because Saturday is one of the most jacked sports Saturdays that you'll ever see. It's absolutely crazy. Plus, we have an update on how Tommy Lugauer may have been smarter than all of us concerning the Yankees leadoff spot. And of course, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. But it is 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, so Rick Pitino has the Johnnies winning their first tournament game since Tiki was still playing football. So it got me thinking, the five most legendary coaches to come coach a New York team at the end of their careers. And how did that turn out? So let's base it on this list.
All right.
Here we go.
Number five.
How about those 2005-2006 Knicks coached by Larry Brown?
Larry Brown, Team Titanic. That was a disaster.
Yes, that did not work out.
Yes.
Here we go.
Number four.
How about the Giants right before Tiki got there, bringing in Dan Reeves after his long run with the Broncos? Another thing that didn't really work out.
I mean,
out.
They had some success.
Yeah. I think they had one playoff.
I liked Dan Reeves a lot. So I'm in 97 before I got drafted. You know, you can take those trips.
Yeah.
I only took one trip, and it was to Atlanta.
Oh.
Because I thought they were going to draft me. And I forgot who they ended up taking, another running back. But I really liked him. That was the only time I met him. I was like, I really like this guy.
And he had success with the Falcons after
he
the
did.
Giants at that point.
Sure did.
Here we go.
Number three.
A very recent one.
Buck Showalter.
2022-2023.
Well, how do you define that? Because I push back you saying Dan Reeves was a failure. Buck Showalter was here for 2 years. They won over 100 games in one of those years, right. But had a playoff flame out. And the other year was a disaster. So
he set this Met core up for success with Carlos Mendoza. I think it is a success.
So you think history will look back at the Buck Showalter tenure? Because I think even now it's still too early to really say. We're going to look back at him positively.
Mm. Yeah, I think we will.
I think so.
I don't think the Met fan, unless I'm... IBO says, I don't think they have ill will towards Buck.
I don't have ill will towards Buck. I don't think most Met fans have ill will towards Buck. I'm just saying 15 years from now, when someone says Buck Showalter is manager of the Mets, what's the reaction?
I think they're going to say he was a good coach, but they weren't going to win a championship with him.
He is good luck, Chuck. All the teams.
I mean, it's amazing. Think about the Mets. They got to the NLCS the year after they got rid of him.
Unbelievable. Here we go.
Number two.
Bill Parcells with the Jets. Comes back to New York after leaving New England. Takes the Jets to an AFC title
game. Would you call that, though, the end of his career since he had another job after?
Well, think about it. Larry Brown also coached the Bobcats. Yeah, but, you know, I'm talking about older guys that it was Reeves coached Atlanta, but we know they were towards the end.
Yeah, I tell you, my opinion on Bill was he was great, and he turned the organization around, but it still bothers me that he left. He didn't finish the job.
Yeah, not his fault Testaverde got hurt the next year.
Well, it's his fault that it took him forever to go to Ray Lucas, and it's his fault that he resigned. So you can bring up one thing.
I really liked Ray Lucas.
So did I.
Such a cool dude.
But yeah, Bill Parcells had a man crush on Rick Mirer, so you can answer that for yourself.
Okay. I mean, Ray Lucas is, you know, the old school DeVito. That's also.
No, hold on. Don't do this. You want to fight?
He didn't have a great career after that.
Sean, it's not about his career after. In 1999, the great Bill Parcells, who I have nothing but respect for.
I understand.
Bleeped up.
He did. They got hot late. And it's a little too late.
I didn't say Ray Lucas is in the Hall of Fame. Did I say
but,
that?
But I'm saying in
1990. In the end, if he goes to him early, they make the playoffs.
If he goes to him early, maybe that run we saw from Lucas at the end happens early and he cools down late in the year.
Tap out, take your L and move on to the next. Mm.
I'm just saying.
You can say
I've been there with
want.
DeVito. That's what you're doing.
It's not Tommy DeVito. Stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
No, you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself.
Tiki, when does he learn to take an L and move on?
Because it would have been hard for him to start Ray. It'd be like the Giants starting Tommy DeVito this season.
Yes. Rick Mirer was an abomination.
Your face is an abomination.
Just go to the next already.
Number one.
And number one is Rick Pitino. I mean, look, our Johnnies are back here. They're back to relevancy. They win a game like this. I think this is the best example of a legendary coach coming to New York. I hope they go down in flames tonight. I can't wait for this team to cut down the nets.
You know what he's doing?
Jinxing them?
Well, that. But he's also playing this. Who is it you wanted to see on Raw? I'm forgetting his name now.
The guy I want to see on Raw.
You see how bad he's implemented your mind? You're asking about who you want to see on Raw?
You wouldn't let me watch it.
John Cena.
Cena.
Yeah.
Sean is becoming John Cena.
Yeah, he's turning heel.
Heel, and he's going to quickly come back to a baby face.
Whoever the writers are. Wins by 25.
I'm booking it already.
I think it just means that Sean is doing a great charity event with Boomer Esiason tomorrow, where he's a guest bartender at
the Tap Room in Bayshore. All Arkansas, you there.
And I think he's afraid if he's the anti-St. John's guy while there, he'll face a lot of backlash. One critique?
There'll be barbacks and there'll be razorbacks.
There is a guy you missed out on. And I don't know where I would put him. Mm. That'll be up to you, Teak. I want you to think about this. What have I told you that a head coach who has won over 1,300 games in his career is considered one of the great coaches of all time? In fact, when they released the list of the greatest head coaches of all time, I remember the NBA released that, like, top 15 coaches of all time?
Yeah.
I think he's one of them. He won an NBA championship, and the guy literally ended his career with the New York Knicks, and he doesn't include him on this list.
Phil Jackson?
No, because he never coached.
Oh, that's right.
Not Phil Jackson. The great Lenny Wilkins.
Oh, that's a good one.
Lenny Wilkins.
That is a good one.
I mean, dude, he's a Hall of Famer.
No, you're right.
I kind of forgot.
I forgot, too.
You forgot that he coached the Knicks.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, so he coached the Knicks the final 2 years. Let me see his exact
this
record.
This is the problem. If I admit, hey, you know, I went to the research. Oh, you're not doing it off the top yet. Then I do it. You missed somebody.
Right.
Well, no, you should do research. I had never told you not to do research. Lenny Wilkins in 2004. Took over late in the season, 23-19. That was the year they made.
2004 it's recent enough that you should have remembered.
Definitely recent. And that was the year where he took over halfway through the season.
I was playing football, so I had an excuse from that.
Knicks made the playoffs that year. Remember what happened?
I was playing flag football, Tiki.
You have no excuse, Sean. Do you remember what happened to the Knicks that year?
In 04?
Yeah. Lenny sparked them to make the postseason. You're embarrassed. Get out of here.
I forgot. I forgot the 04 postseason.
I'll take over from here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, wait. The Nets-Knicks played the first round. Right?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Lenny Wilkins took over halfway through, Teague. They finished 23-19. They made the playoffs and then got absolutely annihilated by the far superior New Jersey Jason Kidds.
Lost to Detroit after.
The then far superior.
Now, the following year, Lenny got fired halfway through the year after they started 17-22 and things got worse. They replaced him with Herb Williams, and things got even worse, and the Knicks went through a dark period of time. So Lenny's time with the Knicks, if you look at his overall record.
And Larry Brown followed that.
40-41. He ended up coaching 81 games over two seasons and basically had him at 500. You could argue Lenny was their best coach between the Van Gundy Woodson era. And so he did a pretty good job, but yes, Hall of Famer, you left out. You embarrassed yourself.
I'll see everybody Monday.
I'll see you Monday. you have to admit, Sean.
Hey. This my
you missed that
ass.
One. Okay, that's fine. That's all. That, if you once you say you missed it, well, I'll move on. That's fine.
Still wrong about Nimmo.
I'm wrong about what?
Well, I don't know what he's screaming about.
I'm talking about Nimmo.
I don't know where I would put Lenny on the list, Tiki, but that's an egregious mistake. Egregious mistake.
I'm a fat moron. You're an egregious mistake.
that's not a good response. Let's go to Daniel in Patterson, New Jersey. How are you, Daniel?
Hey, fellas, what's going on, man? Love the show. Love the growth of the show. You guys are great.
Thank you, man.
I was listening, and you guys kept mentioning that Soto signed because he went to, like, who offered the most money. But there was a podcast not too long ago that he was on, like a week ago or so, that he said that there was about five teams in the bid for him. And the Mets was not the highest bidders. There were teams that bid higher than the Mets.
Now, Daniel, I'm glad you brought that up because Juan did say that on a podcast about a week ago. And when I brought it up on the air to Tiki and Sean, and I want to be careful with the language here, while they didn't call Juan a liar, they chose not to believe the story.
Well, no, that's only, hold on. There's a caveat to this.
Go ahead.
The reason we didn't believe the story is because you were positioning it as if it was the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, that was my guess.
Who made the highest offer.
That was my guess.
As that segment went on, we both came to the realization it probably wasn't the Blue Jays.
Right.
It was most likely the Dodgers.
Yes.
But it was so much deferred money, which he had none of in his Mets deal, that it made no sense to defer, kick the money that far down the road, even if the Dodgers offered $50, $60, $100 million more. But ultimately, probably wasn't the Dodgers.
Yeah, I've heard that it was not the Dodgers and it was not the Blue Jays, but I have heard that another team offered Juan Soto the most money. And the only thing that I think is important to lay out on the radio for us to know is that team wasn't the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that needs to be put to bed. The Yankees did not outbid the Mets. The Mets outbid the Yankees. So Yankee fans could at least say, hey, look, it wasn't that.
Well, they told us, basically, the Yankees. They said we just weren't going to go that high.
And the Yankees, if they did outbid the Mets, would admit it. Because even though there'd be the embarrassment of losing him for less money, I think they would want it out there. Hey, we offered the most money.
Yeah, they would have said, the Yankees would have positioned it as, we offered him the most money, he just didn't want to be a Yankee.
Yeah. I agree.
Evan, real quick, I'm like an idiot, I'm fat. I said I'm going to the taproom in Bayshore tomorrow.
Is that what you said?
It's the taproom in Huntington. I was thinking about my more localized watering hole. So Huntington tomorrow.
Well, you got
to
get this right. You're promoting yourself.
I understand.
You're promoting
Have
Boomer.
You been saying Bayshore
the
whole time?
No, I'm pretty sure I've been saying Huntington, but I guess I had a brain fart there. Yeah. It is Huntington across from the Paramount tomorrow.
What's going to happen when all these people go to Bayshore and you're not there?
I think they're all owned by the same people, so they'll be happy. A lot of money.
How distant is it?
They're about a half an hour away.
Oh, dude.
They're on opposite shores of Long Island.
You just screwed everybody.
Bottom of the barrel trash.
you really did.
So bad.
And you got to remember the way radio works, Sean. Like, and you heard it with our last caller. We appreciate our last caller. He listens to the show, loves the shows, all these compliments. He doesn't hear every second of the show, which is normal.
Right.
So there is somebody who only heard like 8 minutes of Evan and Tiki because their commute on Friday is so easy because no one goes to work.
Yep.
And all they heard was wrong information about your public appearance with Boomer Esiason.
You better tweet this 100 times.
No, and it's easy. I live fairly close to the Bayshore one. I will go with chalk outside the sidewalk tomorrow and just write, not this location, come to Huntington.
So you're going to the tap room in Huntington.
Yes.
What time are you going to be there?
I plan on being there by like 2 o'clock.
And you're guest bartending?
Yes, from 3 to 5.
So how's that work? Like, you make the drinks?
So
he's going to work the tap.
Coach Booms hasn't
anything neat.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Coach Booms hasn't exactly read me the rule book yet, and you don't want to anger Coach Booms, so I'm just following his lead tomorrow.
No, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be the bar back.
You think so?
No. I'm pouring drinks tomorrow. Anybody who orders a margarita, you get a vodka soda. That's the way it's going
to be. While you're with Boomer Esiason, are you going to call him out for the fact that he promised you tickets to a Ranger game and has still not brought you to a game that he promised you?
I'm not a beggar, so I will not. Boomer can look me in the eyes, and if he doesn't remember over the course of 3 hours, that's on him.
Mm. All right, so you
are a chooser.
I'm a chooser?
Yeah, you
beggars
are.
Can't be choosers.
Right.
Yeah, oh,
so
no.
You're not a beggar, so you got to be a chooser, right?
You know what? You're right. I am a chooser.
Got it.
I will ask, and I think, Tiki, you join me in asking the audience to do us a favor.
What's that?
If you are going to the Tap Room tomorrow in Huntington,
you almost messed it up.
Go up to Boomer, and you could say a lot of things to Boomer, like, hey, I love your show, or hey, the Rangers suck, or whatever you want to say to him. But one thing you must say to him is, hey, Boomer, how come you haven't taken Sean to the Ranger game you promised him? Mm. So it's off your back, and okay. Now someone will publicly do it, and then Boomer will give an answer, which is, you know, I don't want to sit next to him.
Sure, that'll be comfortable.
Well, he promised it. It's not like anyone else did.
Honestly, I'd rather cash the ticket in for next year now, for being honest.
I'm sure he would, too, at this point. Let's go to Elias in Stamford, Connecticut. How are you, Elias?
How are you, Evan and Tiki?
What's up,
and
dude?
Sean, happy Friday to all of you guys, and thank you for every day for making us listen to some radio that's better than politics right now.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, appreciate it.
I could say that. Real quickly, I know you guys talked about a bunch of things, and I'll try to be quick. One, I just think that Soto going to the Mets was that obviously money, and everything else was just gravy, just giving him the props of being here. And yes, and I do believe he can be a god for us, because I'm a Met fan going back to the 1984 time. I'm 51 years old, so I just think that honestly that he would be a god. And I think that because he was in Washington and got them a World Series, and he was just around variable players that actually beat the Dodgers. So I just think that with the team that we have, we get a little bit more pitching, he can be a god. And whatever Judge does, he'll do whatever he's going to do. But if you don't get a championship, as Tiki says, no ring, you're not going to be a god. So I'll leave it with that.
With the Yankees, you can't be.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think with the Mets, you can. I mean, Mike Piazza's basically a god.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the bar is very different with the Mets than the Yankees. With the Yankees, though, it's more than just one. That's the unfortunate thing. And, you know, you look at some of the icons you're competing with. I think Don Mattingly's a special case for anyone who says, well, what about Donnie? He's a god. He didn't win anything. I think it's different. Mattingly wasn't in the playoffs every single year. He didn't fail in the playoffs most years.
Right.
And that's unfortunately the thing that Aaron Judge is dealing with. Let's go to Zach in New Jersey. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Ventiki. What's up, guys?
All's good. What's happening?
Ev, I don't really have to speak to you because I know that what your opinion is on Brett Beatty. But just between hearing people on the Rico and hearing people on your guys' show, it's just annoying to hear how people still want Acuna to be the starting second baseman. I mean, Beatty's given us everything he has. He's hitting 375. He's got the highest OPS in spring training. I know it's just spring training, but he looks more confident. He looks like he's smiling. He's more relaxed.
I agree with what you're saying, Zach, but you got to keep something in mind. And let's use Tiki as a great example. And Sean is a great example. These two guys, rightfully so, I'm not putting you down, are not sitting there watching Mets spring training. Is that a fair statement?
That is absolutely true.
Okay. Did it start yet?
Right. But at the end of last season, you watched the Mets and you watched Luis Angel Acuna. Your impression of those 2 weeks was?
Unbelievable. Hit over 300. He felt like he could be an everyday player.
Now,
live stick.
Okay.
Yes.
They are giving you the majority opinion. Now, I don't mean to insult you. They happen to be wrong right now.
Mm.
If they're implying because of that, Acuna should be the everyday second baseman. But I want to explain to Zach in a nice, eloquent way.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is DaxRU?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why Met fans are saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing because most people are not paying attention to spring training. Most people view Acuña under the prism of he got called up and he played great. They view Beatty under the prism of he's been given a million chances and he sucks. By the way, all those things are true. What I'm with you on, Zach, because ultimately I agree with you, is Beatty's done everything he could at AAA. He's performed down there.
Yeah.
He's now having a monster spring training. He's got the highest OPS in all of baseball. I'm with you. I want him to get that shot at second base while McNeil is out, and let's see what happens. But I wanted to explain to you why there are Met fans that prefer Acuña, and I think Sean and Tiki eloquently told you. They're not watching spring training, and they watched the last 2 weeks of last year. And that's why there's a bias towards right. Acuña.
But I don't prefer Acuña. I think Brett Beatty deserves a shot.
Thank you.
And so he's going to, looks like he's going to get it.
But what is that based on, in your opinion? Is it the spring training then? Even if you're not watching?
No, it's he's a homegrown kid. You've tried to, clearly they've had reasons to put him in the starting lineup for a couple of years now, including this one. And there's something that they see in him that they believe will come out of him. And you see it in AAA.
It could be the Mark Vientos effect too. How many people thought Mark Vientos at some point early last year before that, oh, this is just going to be a quadruple A player, and he takes off in his ears. So right. Why can't Beatty have the same kind of path this year?
I'm with him. I think he deserves a shot. And yeah. If he stinks, he stinks.
Right.
Like, this is it for Brett.
Basically, what he's doing in spring training is exactly what he did in AAA. He's crushing pitching that's not, he's not going to see.
He has already conquered AAA.
Yes.
He has already conquered spring training. Now Brett's got to do the tough part, which is hit at the major league level.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, if he doesn't hit at the major league level, well, over for him.
They got to trade him.
Yeah. He'll be traded, he'll be sent back down, and he'll be meaningless. So he will get the first shot, and he deserves the first shot. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. So, a while ago, we were looking ahead towards the Yankee season. And early in spring training, we said, boy, they really don't have a leadoff hitter. We went through all the different names and the different possibilities on guys that could be leadoff hitters. We even brought up Austin Wells, and that has turned out to be kind of where things are headed because every time Austin Wells plays a spring training game, he is leading off. So all indications are Austin Wells is going to lead off. I made my case for Aaron Judge. You made a case for Jazz Chisholm. Sean made a case for Cody Bellinger. And then
Anthony Volpe.
Someone said Cody Bellinger. I forget. And then we
might have been you.
I think we all just picked two guys because we picked everybody right. I think Sean Carlo even got looked at.
Honestly, I just looked at the on base percentage.
Me too. That's why I wanted Aaron Judge.
And Aaron Judge is the leader in the clubhouse.
He is. Now, that has not really been considered, but then we all made long-term bets. Like, okay, who's going to end up leading off the most for the New York Yankees? Now, we may not get that answer early on because a guy could lead off for a month like Austin Wells. He loses the leadoff spot. It could end up becoming somebody else.
Right, kind of like Volpe last year.
Absolutely.
He led off for a long time, and then ultimately he just didn't perform, so they kicked him down, and Torres filled their role.
No question, and Glaber ended up being the guy. So while we were making the long-term bets, you know, I pick my guy, Tiki picks his guy. I don't even remember what we all picked, but I remember that Tommy Lugauer picked Paul Goldschmidt, and we all kind of guffawed at him. And then after a day, I went to him. I think he'll remember this, but he probably won't. And I said, definitely said it on the air. I was like, I think you're right, Tommy. I think you saw something none of us saw, because when Goldie is Goldie, he gets on base 38% of the time. He may not be fast, but he'd be perfect.
Right.
He can sneakily steal a base. Like, I think Tommy was ahead of the curve on the idea of Goldschmidt. Okay, put that away. Jack Curry taped an interview with Aaron Boone. And Aaron Boone revealed that while Austin Wells is expected to be the leadoff hitter against right-handed pitching, Paul Goldschmidt is in play to lead off against lefties. In fact, according to Jack Curry, Paul Goldschmidt is expected to lead off tomorrow in spring training against the Phillies. So I got to give Tommy some credit. I think he saw something there with the Goldie leadoff spot situation.
Yeah, no, he's right. And it's, look, it's not going to all be Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, a lot of it seems like it's going to be Austin Wells.
It's his job to begin, yes.
Yes, but Paul Goldschmidt, who kind of like Jazz, as I was looking at, and Aaron Judge, who you, I think, justifiably suggested, has a high on-base percentage. And so if you're Aaron Boone, it's kind of the ideal situation. The challenge is that ideal for the entirety of the lineup? And I'm not so sure it is, especially if once you get past, say, four, it gets really dire.
Yeah, I mean, because if Goldie is Goldie, you may want him to drive guys in like he's done throughout his entire career. Paul Goldschmidt has never led off in his career. And I've fact-checked this a couple of times just to make sure, the New York Yankees, who have been around for many, many years, they used to be known as the New York Highlanders. Never in their history has led off with a catcher.
It's amazing.
So Austin Wells on opening day.
But have a lot of teams led off with a catcher?
So I think I got to about 20 of the 30 teams at some point has used a catcher
not,
in the leadoff spot.
But not consistently, like, you are the guy.
Oh,
you
no,
are a leader.
No. A catcher leading off is very, very rare, right. But the Yankees have never done it once, let alone consistently. Like, it's never happened by accident where, Thurman Munson, you're leading off today. Joe Girardi, you're leading off. Has not happened.
So, glass half empty. The Yankees are so desperate in leadoff hole, they're going to take a 40-year-old first baseman on some days, and they're going to take a position in which they've never had somebody lead off on other days, and we're going to be positive about this.
Yeah, because you just brought up things that have never happened to explain that it's bad. Just because something hasn't happened doesn't make it bad.
Isn't it a little worrisome that a couple of their speed guys they have never seized the moment this spring?
I don't think it's about seizing the moment. I think about constructing a lineup in a different way than you imagine. Speed's nice. It's getting on base.
Okay.
That's what it's about. Don't you think that's what it's about?
It is. I mean, I hope Goldschmidt gets on base. As of now, he missed another chance to play today with his barking back.
Well, so, he's going to play tomorrow, and Boone says he's fine.
He was going to play today. And then we were told now tomorrow. So let's just hold our breath, knock on wood.
What are we rushing for? It's spring training.
Not, I know that. I'm just painting a picture of this sounds all great. I'm very worried about this team.
Yeah, but a barking back is just kind of, you need a rest day.
He's going to be negative all year, TK. I can feel it right now.
I don't want to be. The Rangers suck. I'm not getting the playoffs.
Then stop being negative.
I'm just trying to be real.
Okay. Let's go to Eddie in Montrose. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday. Cheers to Friday.
Yes.
Actually, no, Tiki. I won the contest a couple years ago for opening day. And I went to opening day with my boy and Tiki and BT.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, thanks for calling in. Very cool.
Yeah. So, are you guys going to be there this year? Or
My understanding is that BT and Sal are doing a show at Yankee Stadium. I don't know where that location is, so I can't speak on that, but they will be doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the game starts at 3 o'clock, so we're actually on the air at 2 o'clock for 25 minutes. And our plan, because we really want to have opening day covered, is to have boots on the ground. So Sean Morash will be at Yankee Stadium. Tiki and I mean, we're not coming in for a 25-minute show, so we'll be at home.
in our comfortable houses.
Yep.
And we will give you extensive 25-minute coverage of New York Yankees and a little Mets opening day leading right up until first pitch. So did you get tickets yet for the game, Sean?
I'm getting access to the building.
That means no.
You're going as a media member.
I'm getting access to the building.
Hey, that's the way to go, man. Remember, for game 4 and 5 of the World Series, I didn't have a ticket. I was moseying around Yankee Stadium.
That's right.
So it's a fun place.
It's a fun place to be with you for game 5, for sure.
Now, I expect that while you're on the air with us for that 25-minute period, your two jobs is to be around the people in the concourse. I don't want you in any kind of special area.
Okay.
And to get Mr. Softy ice cream.
All right. Now, how many quarters are you going to keep putting in my jukebox? What else you want me to do for those 25 minutes? Let's just do backflips.
Anything else you want to do?
Naked streak across the tarp. What do you want me to do?
What would you like to do?
I don't know. What else? It sounds like you're taking the show pony out for a trot. So you tell me what you want to do.
Sean, it's going to be 20 minutes before the start of the game.
I can't wait. I'm going to have fun. You know what? Maybe I'll get that tiramisu and the big helmet. We'll see how many innings I last before I'm going to use the restroom.
If you don't want that, does look good. If you don't want to do those two things, we want to have boots on the ground for opening day. What would you rather do? Do you want to go to Monument Park and start interviewing Babe Ruth? Yeah. That's actually kind
I'd of rather funny. Be nowhere in that stadium bus, but the
Mr.
Softy stand.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to do this at 2:25 today. It did not quite work out because technological issues that we had on the Zoom and the microphone and the earplugs, so you couldn't hear us. How about you go to opening day and you ask people if they care about St. John's?
That's a great thought. That's a great thought. Yeah. Your thoughts on St. John's tonight?
By the way, that's a great idea. That is, as Tiki said, something we tried to do at 2:30. It failed. Sometimes you try stuff. It doesn't work. Sometimes it works.
If you go back on the Rewind feature in the Odyssey app, you won't find it.
You'll hear us say, we tried. But you're right in that if St. John's wins on Saturday against Arkansas, their game is likely to be Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect. You're at Yankee Stadium surrounded by sports fans. Ask them, what would you rather have? A Yankee win right now at the game you spent the fortune for, or St. John's winning at night?
I love it. I'm in. That's the question of the day next
Thursday.
That's
what we're going to do on opening day. Good thoughts. Let's go to Mark in Southern California. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
On this good Friday.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, Evan, before I start, let me reel this off real quick. Start with Sean first. Sean, you owe that lady 2 drinks, not 1.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good point. Right. Thanks.
Kiki, for you, I'm a Jersey guy originally, too. As a matter of fact, there's a town in Jersey called Hillsdale.
Yep.
I was the first and only African-American back in the 70s in that town.
Respect, bro.
Until one of Evan's players moved a block over from my aunt, Freeman McNeil.
The great Freeman McNeil.
He's awesome. Yeah.
Very cool.
And now, Evan,
yes.
To you, this is important.
Yes.
Being that baseball season starting up,
yeah.
My 2 walk-up songs is Le Freak for Chic, and the slow song is even for Mrs. Roberts that you will like is Barry White Playing Your Game.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
And
that's
Evan,
right. Yes.
The other thing is, this is the important thing.
Yes.
What do you, I need your opinion on our pitching.
Well, I'm going to ask Tiki a very important question because I'm very conflicted about something in relation to the New York Met pitching. So, obviously, the Mets are built around offense.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is they're going to score a lot of runs, and their rotation is set up to be Clay Holmes, David Peterson, Kodai Senga, and likely Griffin Canning and Tyler McGill. Now, I think many would look at the back end of that rotation and say, hey, I'm concerned. Griffin Canning had a 5.5 ERA, Tyler McGill block, Clay Holmes converted reliever, and Kodai's never healthy. Those 5 sons of bitches have dominated spring training.
Dominated.
They have. In fact, I'm going to give you a stat. If you take those 4 guys and you add up their innings pitched and you add up their strikeouts and walks and ERA, they have thrown a combined 61 2/3 innings, only given up 39 hits, which is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
64 strikeouts, 18 walks, and a 1.67 ERA. How much should I care about that? Because I'm very conflicted. I usually don't care about spring training stats, but they've all been ridiculous.
It's different with pitchers, because pitchers are, it's unlike with Brett Beatty, who's teeing off on, I'm sure a lot of these pitchers are going to end up in the minors. As we've been talking about his good spring, Oswaldo Cabrera as well, he's had a good spring. But pitchers are, you still got to throw strikes, right? You still got to get guys out. And even if the batter is not qualified to be in the box against you, you're still getting them out
consistently.
And if Clay Holmes, this Clay Holmes project works out like we bet it to work out.
We bet on him to win the Cy Young.
$100 to win the Cy Young for the Evan and Tiki show.
Yes.
Then I think they're going to be just fine. Like I'm still worried about it because I don't know how long Kodai Senga goes before he, you know, whatever happens. Who knows when Sean Manaea is actually getting healthy and coming back. Montas the same way. But after those first couple, you start seeing, well, that could be iffy every time he takes the mound. So if Clay Holmes is great, like we bet him to be great, I think the Mets will be okay. But they're still going to have to score a ton of runs.
Well, that's the key. Like, their rotation just needs to be okay.
Yeah.
If they have a middle-of-the-pack rotation similar to what it was last year, I think they'll score enough runs. Now, earlier, if you rewind to about 5 o'clock, Sean did a Cinco de Five, kind of in honor of Rick Pitino, of five of the greatest coaches / managers who came to New York and managed or coached at the end of their career. This could be a major omission. Stu in Rockville Center. Stu, the floor is yours.
Thanks for taking my call. I was just, what happened to Joe Torre?
Sean?
What happened to Joe Torre?
How do you not include Joe Torre when he took over the New York Yankees managerial job at the age of 57?
Because the Yankees got killed when they hired Joe Torre. It wasn't thought that they were hiring a legend. He became a true legend after becoming the New York Yankee manager. Would be the Dodgers hiring Joe Torre.
Hold on. To be fair. Can you please, and maybe SNY has it because I know you give them the info so they can put the graphic up. What specifically was the name of the Cinco de Five?
I could read it word for word.
I don't know, word for word.
The five most legendary coaches to coach in New York at the end of their career.
Yeah, I think you're clear.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're clear.
He didn't become a legendary until he became the Yankees.
No, he was a loser.
If we did the Cinco in L.A., that would be the Dodgers hiring Joe Torre.
Nah, you're right. Like, Joe Torre in his managerial career with the Cardinals, with the Braves and the Mets, literally made the playoffs one time. Mm. And that's why the back page said Clueless Joe. So you're right. You're cleared. You still got the Lenny Wilkins thing very wrong.
Right.
But
you know just forgot. It's okay.
God bless Lenny Wilkins. All right, let's move on.
He's only 2 days back from vacation.
Where should Lenny have been if you put him on the list? Would he have been number one, or would you have put him kind of like 2-3-ish? Mm. I think he's number one. I got to be honest with you.
Now, look, I put Pitino there to make good with St. John's fans.
Pitino is number one. You're right. Lenny's number two.
Parcells took the Jets to an AFC title game, bro. Lenny took him to a first-round exit at the Nets.
He's probably third.
Yeah.
I think he's third.
Over Buck?
Yeah. I put him over Buck.
Okay.
In terms of Lenny Wilkins is a Hall of Fame coach. I don't think Buck Showalter is a Hall of Fame manager. Mm. I mean, is Buck ever going to the Hall of Fame as a manager?
Yeah, it's Pitino, Parcells, probably Lenny, Buck. And who was the last one?
I put Larry Brown and Reeves 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Larry Brown, you scratched off 5.
Yeah. If you missed it.
You could have left Reeves off.
I think so, too. You can rewind to 5 o'clock to hear his complete list.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.